Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence," it says, "you will show me the path of life." And says, "in your presence is fullness of joy." The path of life. Now I've known that it says the path of life. The path of life. That means that there is a path for everyone that leads to life. And then there is a path that does not lead to life. There is one that leads to death, but then there is also one that does not lead to life. Praise the Lord. And in this time that we are in, everybody has to know their path of life. The trouble is very few people actually, from my interaction with some of you, not all of you actually are very about what your path is. So you're still very prone to somebody coming and swinging you and taking you the other direction and some direction. So any idea that is thrown at you, you're ready to receive, even when it's not in your path, because you've not defined your path yet. There is no clarity on this is my path. Now, of course, every one of us, there is the path of life. Amen? And one of the biggest issues that I had when dealing with ministers of God, especially from the old church, is there's what they call those doors and what and everybody, you know. You see somebody is there pursuing some kind of success which they have not defined. They don't know which path is theirs. So anything that comes and falls in their way, they get excited. The excitement lasts for a while, and then they wait for something new. At something new, and that's how the mind works. The mind loves new things. But after you've gotten something new, the excitement is going to last a short time, and after that, it's just hard work. Okay? And that's true for everything. Praise the Lord. That's true for everything. When you've gotten when you've just gotten a girlfriend, at the beginning there's a little of excitement. Or a wife. After that, it's work. For both of you. Amen? If you want to have that excitement again and again and again, become a player. It's supposed to be once. So you get excited once, and then after that it's work. It's hard work. Okay, not hard work, but you know what I mean. You know, you have to cultivate that. That is true also for your path in life. Now, of course, there are people who want those heights of something new all the time. Somebody presents something new and they jump at it. And I know them, and there are many, and unfortunately there are so many among us. So many. The other day, about a year or two ago, one gentleman who is a remnant came to me and told me that I want to join your party and I want to stand in this place. Now, I knew what to expect from people like him, so I told him, "No, it's okay, you come and we shall support you to stand in that place." Then I was with somebody else who knew that we already have somebody in that place. So the person was trying to tell me, no, we have somebody. I said, "No, it's okay, you chill." I said, "You come. We'll support you to stand in that place." Then when we left, the person said, "Why? There's somebody who is there. Why did you give it to somebody?" I said, "That person will come back tomorrow." Like, I know him, that was just a momento thing. Now, by the next day, I'd forgotten about it. I've met him so many times afterwards, and he has never repeated it. Now, if you tell him, no, I cannot give you, you know, say you're the one to blame. So he said, "No, come. How many? You come." Because I know he will never say the same thing tomorrow. Because he's still trying to discover his path of life. Okay? Man, I wish you knew that we have no time for that any longer. Everybody has to be in a place where they know exactly, this is my path, this is the path I'm going to take, this is where I'm headed. And the path is so clear ahead of them as the path of life. So that somebody comes and drop something in your mind today, and then you get off what you are doing. You are supposed to be a business person, and you seem to have, you know, you wrapped your mind around what you want to do and what. Then the next day, it seems that the wind is blowing in the direction perhaps of politics. Then you also jump on that, and that lasts also for a while. Then the wind goes to another place, then another place, and then you end up spending 5 years and you've done nothing because you never really discovered your path of life. And it is one, and everyone has their own, and God has demarcated it. See, that this is where you are going to pass, and this is where there are flowers for you. Everywhere else, you are going to find hardship. Now it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, when you actually discover your path of life, you discover what it is, the fullness of joy. Because you wake up and you know you're pursuing something which you are supposed to be pursuing. Okay? Not something which somehow has come about. So some of you, if somebody comes and tells you tomorrow, yeah, let's go to South Africa, you pack up your things and go. You have no idea about where your life is supposed to go. None whatsoever. You're just being blown by the wind. Then the person will say, no, let's not go there, let's go here. You pack up and go. And it seems exciting at the time where, but you're actually wasting your time. You're wasting time and you're getting older. Amen? So, now, the whole thing about where we are right now is everybody has to know where their path is. Okay? They have to know where their path is. And it has to be defined. At least you have a clear idea. And it starts with this. Might not be so clear, but as you go ahead, it becomes clearer and clearer. So, if you go to Psalms, if you start from verse 5, it says something which I found interesting. It says, Oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. Go to the next verse. It says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Now, it's as simple as this. You have a good inheritance, but in a certain place. Not in every place. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
If you're enlisted to go and work for government, and you're told that you're going to work in Ministry of Finance, and you end up in Ministry of Gender, nobody knows you. You don't have any, it's not that you're not a government worker, but if you went to where you were supposed to work, there is an office waiting for you, there is a desk, there is everything that you need. In your presence is what? I have an inheritance. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance, but here. But I'm a government worker, so I can work in any place. No, you can't. So you go to Gender, nobody knows you. You have no office. You have no, even your salary comes the other side. So you're there and you just idle. And you look like a charlatan. But the only thing you're doing wrong is you're in the wrong place. Now, if you actually went to Ministry of Finance, they say, here is your office. We've been waiting for you. Here is your, this is where you're supposed to be. And so now, the problem is there are so many people in our midst here. And there are few people whom I know, this one knows their path. 1 minute you're on this, next minute. Let me tell you, some of you, if I came and told you that now, there's a job opportunity in El Salvador, you don't know where it is. But you'd get excited, and say, we go. You can't even locate it on the map. Or there's a job opportunity in Antigua. Or St. Kitts and something, Andalusia, or whatever it is. And the thing is that you have no idea whatsoever where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be pursuing. And now maturity will come at the time when you determine and know for a certain that, no, that's not in my path. Then somebody comes with an exciting idea. You say, no, that's not in my path. That's not my path. Yeah, thank you very much. Sounds good, but my path is here. Then you are actually settled in one place, and now that's when you start developing. Before that, you are just an excitable person, and so on. And now the lines are going to fall on you when you are not in pleasant places. You know what the lines falling on you means? When the cutoff comes, you have to be in pleasant places. There are places where you've been here. Then at some stage, the lines will fall. You know, like if they say, this is where I drew the line. Amen? Now, they draw the line here. You are in evangelism. You are an evangelist. But you are never supposed to be that. And the lines are drawn. The lines follow you in unpleasant places. And actually, you struggle thereafter. I was talking to somebody who was telling me, he was telling me that we're talking about ministry and what, and he said, that person has all the fivefold ministry. I said, that's Jesus only. Only Jesus has the fivefold, all the fivefold. You can't be so stupid. Like, let me tell you. Like, you see, he also operates as an evangelist, but also a prophet. Then he's also a teacher and a pastor. Yeah. You know what you end up doing? Nothing. You end up doing nothing and you become most ineffective because you did lie yourself. It's only Jesus, he says, he ascended on high and he broke himself. He was all those ministries and he gave to some, he gave apostles and prophets and what? You can have two, but I'm not so sure you can have more than two. You see, of the real offices. Now they say, but you see, also, I also minister to somebody else, so I must be an evangelist. No, you're not. And now when you are confused like that, you end up doing nothing. Now I know, I have been with people whom I've watched their lives slowly by slowly. And now I know this person has finally crossed that line where they know what their path is. And you cannot distract them with anything outside of that. They are indestructible. You can't come with something which apparently is new and they jump on it and get excited. But of course, you know, all of us have been in those places. Okay? But there is just one thing. This one thing I do, you know, Paul says, this one thing I do. And press on now. When I was, you know, in the church and seeing how it works, I remember I took some tapes. There were tapes like, you know, cassette tapes of a man called Derek Prince, an incredibly good teacher. I took them to some pastor, and the guy was teaching in those particular tapes. That Derek Prince was one of the best teachers that I know ever existed. He could touch a subject and he does it so thoroughly that you understand it, you see. And now there are things which you receive, but there are things which you have to get with understanding, where what makes it sure is that you've understood how it works. Now that guy would teach something and you really, really understand it. So he had tapes on divine healing, he had tapes on what? Then he had tapes on demonology. Then I gave them to that gentleman. Then that became his message for the next 20 years. But then the problem is that he became so embroiled in the whole demonology thing that he was only happy when people are vomiting. So what he's doing is apparent. But let me tell you something. I don't know anywhere in the Acts of the Apostles where demons were cast out of believers. That doesn't mean they are not. But I want you to show me the Acts of the Apostles. You know, there are things which the church has received. The great evangelist T.L. Osborne said he read the book of Acts and he never saw anywhere where they do an altar call. But yet, people were getting born again at what? So the guy would come and pray for the sick and people get healed and he walks out. And there are so many people I know who got saved at his meetings without them saying, you know, that was his thing. Of course, other evangelists, great evangelists as well, would do altar calls, like Reinhard Bonk. But Osborne says, me, I never saw in the Acts of the Apostles where they do an altar call. How many of you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on. He said, that one, he doesn't know where it is. Anyway, so people have their own, you know. I don't know if it's not there. But I don't know in the Bible where they were casting demons out of believers. But then that doesn't mean that believers are not under any sort of influence. But you see, there is somebody, the pastor who told me that, after you know, care of Macha, in so can never call him deliverance. So he starts just, like, and they mess up themselves. So, to the point that at one stage, a gentleman who was staying on the musical went and got born again. Then they went and told him that now demons are going to be attacking you every what? Every night. So now, every night you would be there again. Then they went to preach to the other man next door. The man said, the Sinaga Narwana Namizimu. So you're not even going to get born again, because the other guy got born again and he's always fighting with demons. Before he was born again, he was sleeping well. You see how, like, people get confused. And now the whole thing is turned around. So now you can't preach. You say, you didn't hear Lord. Yeah, I'm sleeping. The other guy was okay. Until you went and preached to him the gospel. Now, for some reason, demons are all over him. Praise the Lord. So anyway, Colossians chapter 1, from verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Go ahead. Which was come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Quiet. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Quiet. Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Okay. Quiet. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the reason I wanted to read before is Paul is saying, we heard about the great things you've done, you're doing, about your love in the Spirit, about your faith and what. Now, the prayer he's praying for people who are not beginners, who have reached somewhere. Now, he says, for this reason, since I heard that, I started praying that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. In other words, that you may comprehensively know what your path is. Okay? And that is a prayer you pray for somebody at a certain level. Because everybody, when they are just new or whatever, they still have to go through a bit of that phase of, you know, they are here, they are there, they are there. They don't know where their success is going to come from. They don't know which direction they are going to take. So they're a bit all over the place. But now he says, when I heard of your love in the Spirit and of your faith, if you read it from all that, and of, you know, the wonderful things you're doing, you're bearing fruit. Now he says, now since then, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that is what he says. And go ahead and say, first of all, I will come back and tell you wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, he lists five things which come as the result of you being filled with the knowledge of His will. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering of joy. Now, I could break those down, but there is no need for it. But you see, one of the reasons people, for instance, our patience and long-suffering with joy, if you know for sure that it is God's will that you enter into a certain business, and for the first 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, it's not working out, as long as you're sure, you'll have patience and long-suffering, and you'll be happy even when it is not working out. You see, because you're filled with the knowledge of His will, this is God's will for me, right now it's not working. But now, if you are not sure of that, the first time that you hit a roadblock or you hit a hurdle, the first thing you're going to do is bolt. And the enemy is good at that. Because I'll tell you this, the biggest enemy of a good idea is another idea. Amen? You've started something, you're being, then somebody comes with another one. And then when now you're building this up, then you come with another one. And that's how you live your life like that. You're perpetually jumping from, you know, one thing to the other, to another. But now if you really know that, if you're pregnant and you need something, how many of you know that a lady cannot get pregnant when she's already pregnant? Amen? If somebody is pregnant, you can't say, hey, I'm scared she will get pregnant. No, she's in. So now if you have an idea and you're pregnant with it, don't get pregnant with another one. That's not natural. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so he says, for all patience and long suffering with joy. That's just one of them. But says also, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Now, there are things which the strength of God, which you only have when you are actually in His will and you're filled with the knowledge of His will and you're sure it is His will. Amen? And even when you face a hard place, as long as you're sure that this is the will of God, you'll be able to overcome it, because he gives you a might, okay, and strength in that point according to his glorious power. And you even carry a glory around you because you're walking in the will of God. Praise the Lord. So now imagine you're not supposed to be in a certain place. Let's say politics. Then you go there. Then they come and give you a test. Amen? Of that medicine. You see? Now for me, I would have the ability to overcome it, even if they give it to me. Like, there is nothing that is going to make me think that, no, what if, no. Because I am filled with the knowledge of his will. And I know what my path is. And it is totally defined. So even when I meet obstacles, I know that this has just come, but the truth is I am in the path of God. And actually, the obstacles will always come when you're in the path of God. And sometimes that's even the thing that shows you that you are, when you encounter certain things. But now, you go there when you are not sure you're supposed to be there. And then certain things happen. And then you don't have the ability, the power, the strength, the might to overcome it. Amen? Now there are certain things which, even if, like glory, you know glorious power. You understand? Eh? Glorious power. Now, even when it comes and appears to be negative, because you have the glorious power, it actually turns out positive in that place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'll give you an example. If they came and arrested me, I will come out bigger than what I went in. Amen? Hey, some of you, if they arrested you and you're not supposed to be there, you come out with shame. But if they did me, it's actually to my benefit. Not that I want them to do it. My wife is always praying that it doesn't happen. But even if they did it, like, I come out bigger than what I went in, because the glorious power, and it is there. As long as I'm in my path. If I am not, you come out with shame. You get beaten. You want. So now, that's why he says, you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. Now, of course, the knowledge of his will, there are some people who come and tell you that, you know, it's the will of God that I do this. And you see, there is no wisdom in it. You don't even need to have known the will of God. You see, the will of God has to have some wisdom. You see, that's why he says, go back, it says, wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understand the spiritual aspect of things. So you know what his will is, and it can pass the wisdom test. It doesn't sound stupid to a spiritual person. It might sound stupid to somebody who is not spiritual. But if you tell it to me and it sounds stupid to me, then it's probably stupid. So it has to pass the wisdom test. Okay? And it also has to pass the test of spiritual understanding. Do you actually understand? Do you actually have an understanding of spiritual things? Then he says, I pray, since the reason I had this, of how much you've developed as believers, I'm paraphrasing, I do not cease to pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his path. Praise the Lord. The knowledge of what? His path, your path for him. Praise the Lord. And that you may, you know, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Go to verse 10. Then he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, when you start going in actually what is God has for you, and I caution you, everybody, if you are not absolutely sure about his path, today you are going to leave and go and ask him, where is my path? Amen? Because when you have it clear, you know, you are sure, and there is nothing that can distract you, because you know, my thing is I'm supposed to be a financial giant. It's not supposed to happen. I'm supposed to get this. I'm supposed to get this. Even to the things that you talk about now, like wealth that I was talking about last time, wealth, ownership, and all that. There is a path to it. There's God's path to it. Now you have to know, what is my path to it? Somebody's path will be different, another's will be different, but coming up to the same thing, prosperity. But we are all taking totally different paths. And if you want to choose your own path outside of the Lord, you will not have that success. That is how childish Christianity is. Unfortunately, I can say 90% of the church walk in childhood Christianity. That's why they are saying somebody has the all the fivefold ministry. Because they don't want to make up their mind. Prophet sounds good, but also evangelist is not bad. But also pastor, I have to start. So you're just there. And life is passing you by. Life passes you by, and you never achieve anything. You end up in nothing. Okay? Then when you get into business, if you're supposed to be a business person, every day there is a new idea. You're the only person who gets pregnant when you're supposed to be pregnant. Okay. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Now, you can say you're fruitful, but if you're not in the will of God, you will not be. You will do things which will appear big, but when you look at the fruit at the end of the day, it's not there. Now, this is, I'll tell you this, that I'm grateful to God that I grew up when I got born again. One of the first things I was exposed to was this whole thing of the will of God. And knowing that God has a will, and at some stage I have to give up my own will to His. Okay? I have to surrender my will. Because, of course, at that early stage, you have things you want to do, you want to do this, and usually it's because you've seen somebody who you like doing it. And because that person perhaps is supposed to be doing it, they look good at it. So you try everything. So you try a business here, try a business what, try joining choir, then they tell you your voice is like a frog's, then you say okay, then you try, then you go all over the place. But because it's somebody who is there in the will of God, they stand up and sing and you, man, you say, why can't I also be? Now, but you can't. You see, eh? You can't. So, but there's something else you can do which God gave you, which if you actually went and did, other people would be looking at you and admiring you. But, you're all over the place. Then at some stage, I just decided that, you know, I'm going to just do the will of God. Because I've been through everything. I've been through everything. I started. There's a time I started a takeaway somewhere in Tinder. And it would have worked, actually. But still wouldn't have been the will of God for me. But what happened, I was with a business partner, and the guy loved the money like a problem. So he had no sense of, let's leave the thing work. And I wanted, we are trying to copy, you know that tipsy in one day. So we are trying to copy that model of working 24 hours. And because there are so many people who stay that side of it was just actually in Tinder Trading Center, just soon after they retired. We wanted to, you know, have it there, because that people who are coming from disposal and what, all over the place, who come and are hungry and pass there and get food. It worked for a while until my friend came and took all the money. Now, people come from wherever they are coming from, they come there, there is no chips, there is no chicken, there is no other. They just throw you out. Because they want to be sure that when we come there, there is food, you understand? Otherwise, they will drive through one day where they are sure. So I told this guy, you man, why don't you leave the money there? He said, you know, I have to do this. So eventually it failed. Then the Lord told me that, why would you start a takeaway? Anybody, you know, actually, he gave me an idea. At the time, I was probably probably even the best sports journalist, and everybody knew me for that. So he told me that if you started something in the line of sports, you have a comparative advantage. Anybody can start a takeaway. So he told me to start a sports newspaper, and it could have worked. But then I went and look at the mistakes I've made. Like, by the time I became the watchman, I was telling Admin, I said, but surely, like, Admin all over the place. Here it fails. Now imagine, God first waits for you to hit your head on the wall and hit on the wall, then eventually he tells you, now you're the watchman. So for the first time in my life, I actually had any form of what? Something that works. And yet, actually, it was there all along. Because I started studying end time in 1996. So now, when I would even listen to these
home preaching it in America. You know, it's America, what? Don't be talking elementary stuff. I had read, and I used to read. I would read. There were only two things I used to read about. Sports and that. And I thought at some stage I was going to learn much because I was working as an editor. And I would arrive to in office. And then you have to wait for people to bring news. So usually you start working at around 5. But you have to be in office early, at 9. But the real work starts at around 5. So there, all I had is a computer and internet. So I would be doing my research there and what. Then I go and start a checkout. Then I go and, I did weird things, by the way. Now the sports newspaper, there was some Muslim whom I went and told, we start the thing together. The guy stole the idea and ran it into the ground and even left me with debt and ran away from Uganda. But now I couldn't resume it because he had healed it. But you know those things of God tells you to do something and you feel you need somebody to hold on to it. And yet actually he has told you because you have the capacity to do it. You only have to start. But see, everybody goes through that time when you are, let's start with the railroad. So that you know, there's a safety in numbers, you see it? Yeah, and God doesn't want safety in numbers. He wants you to be out there, put your head out there. Okay? And tussle it out. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I went through all of that and jumped from here to there to there to there until I was filled with the knowledge of His will. With all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now that's what I'm telling you to do here. Like, don't waste time. Because by the time I was filled with the knowledge of His will, I was in my 40s. Now in my, okay, not 40s, a bit earlier than that, but okay, it's okay. Praise the Lord. So now, do you have all the time to waste? We don't even have that time. So just put your will down and say, now, what is God's will? And the day you ask Him, He will tell you. He will show you the path, the real path. And then when the day you start walking on it, somebody will come to you with a good idea. The devil will always make sure of that. Amen? Yeah. There are certain things which are so, there are people who will move, just pack up and move because somebody wants to marry them. Like, there are people who are, like, you have to be sure about certain things. Absolutely sure. Remember Abraham telling his servant, Eliezer, that go and look for a wife for my son. Then they entered into an oath. And those oaths were very serious. And he told him that don't get a wife for him from here. Go to the other side among his relatives. But you see, Eliezer asked, what if the woman will not come? Should I take Isaac there? Abraham said, by no means. If she will not come, you are released from the oath. But don't take Isaac there. Because you see, God has brought him from here. Now imagine He has brought him here to Canaan. And he's supposed to inherit this land. Then He says, I'm not again. The woman refused. Let me go the other side. And then you killed the whole purpose of God just because of marriage. So Abraham says, if she will not come, you're released from the oath. But whatever happens, do not take him away from here. Now there are certain people who, okay, we just up and go and like this. It is just that they have no sense of. Then you are saying, what if? So am I not supposed to get married? If in your path, in God's path for you, there is the right person, He's going to take you away from your destiny. You understand? All those things are planned by God. God's will caters for all those things. A lot of things which you cannot even think about. He has thought about, He knows you, He knows what kind of woman you want, what He knows who you really are, not who you think you are. Or who you want us to believe you are. Amen? Yeah. So He will get you somebody who will fit into that mold. But, He says, do not take the boy away from here. Now, because there is a plan of God, this is Canaan, this is what the land which I'm going to give them. Now, you can mess that all that up. Come and tell Isaac. Now the girl says, ah, if you want her, you go and find her the other side. Then Isaac packs and goes. And that's the end of God's plan. Amen? I'll tell you this also, by the way. You ladies. The rule is that the man is the priest of the woman. Okay? So if you go and marry a carnal man, you're going to end up under him spiritually. You can't break the rule. You are not going to be the person carrying the spirituality. But you see, now that's where I'm going. When the devil wants to mess up the woman's destiny, man, the number one place is marriage. Number one place is marriage. Like, that is the place. And when somebody, when God is kind to them, he will give them somebody who knows them very well. And I remember hearing, anyway, I won't say that. But the thing is, like, because we, you know, then your whole family, of what, then somebody just comes and messes you up, and like, it takes you completely off the trajectory of what God was building in you. And that's it. And the next thing, I've seen things in the church, by the way, by the man. Those years when we were young in church, the next thing you see somebody is putting on Islamic wear. And the man told the man to fire me, I don't care, I don't mind, but you can be a local with me, I love to watch it.
Then you go there, you enter into a whole culture. You think you're marrying a man, you don't know you're marrying a culture. Then when it comes to fasting, you cannot eat when everyone else is fasting. So you fast. And the next thing, you're also putting on those what? Those, like, and you look at somebody and you say, so, for marriage, you actually gave up all your destiny. Ah, you see, Christian men are fake. Okay, that also is a bit true, eh? But... okay, and if the woman is not... eh? But, no, you know, that's the truth. Because I see in our churches here, there are very few men who are ready to look after a woman. You understand? Responsible enough, who can, you know? Especially young men. Eh? Like, who can actually have somebody. Because, you see, you're supposed to take care of human in many ways. Not even just financially, but many ways. But you see, a boy is also behaving like a woman. Like, you can't stand your ground. You can't take what, you know, you can't. There is nothing that is totally manly about you. And then, she lost. Then the man who is actually a man comes with a what? A. And for him, he's a man, he's strong, he's, you know, by strong I don't mean Kanyama. I don't mean Robert. You see, eh? He's a responsible person whom you can, eh? But now, man, some, by the way, eh? Man, this gentleman here has a son, eh? He's a Sekawede, eh? Eh? Powerful man. He's now a father of what? A young boy. Eh? Praise the Lord. Some men cannot even just make up their mind that they want, this is the woman I want, and go with that. They're not filled with the knowledge of God. What? The will of it. So when he's dating, this one, another one comes here. They say, let me try this one. Then another one comes. Like, you're not a man, you're just fake. But anyway, that is not excuse for what? For people to go. But there is a truth to what, man, I see even by the even remnant guys, eh? And you see total lack of responsibility. And you say, now look at this guy, some woman is looking at him as a potential husband, but there is nothing husband about him. Praise the Lord. There is nothing what? And some of you are even looking at you here and what? You cannot make up your mind on one person and say this is it and settle down. You want the... Anyway, you'll be fine. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be released from what? From the oath. Only do not take him back there. Only do not take him back there. Now you see, this is Abraham being very serious. The destiny is here. You cannot give up a destiny for marriage. You would be a fool. Glory to God. Now, the path of life. How many people really, really, really are sure about what their path of life is? Among you, really, like, this is it. Nothing can confuse me. Nobody is going to come tomorrow and tell me there is this and the other and the other. And then I'm running all over the place. Let me tell you, very few of you. Very few. I wish I could put up a test. and tell you there's an opportunity in Afghanistan. Then you see Akena saying Harvard. He goes. Praise. There's a friend of mine, but some guy came and told him we're there. We're Malaysia. A man of God. Opportunities in Malaysia. The guy went and, okay, it was a big thing. The guy ended up in prison. Because he went and, like, it was a very long and sad story, but he ended up in prison. So I went to see him in prison, and I looked at man. Praise the Lord. Then there was this thing which, the people who have seen go down those paths, there was this thing which came in town of kuferaing people using over what dollars. You remember that thing? What dollars were they? Over black dollars. Eh? Where they give you the... Man, I saw that thing bring down men of God. Like it... And yet, when they would tell you, see, there's something wrong with this thing. Eh? Like, it looks fake. Somebody comes with a box of dollars like this and says, do you remember it? Now, okay. A box of dollars, like, and says, you see these dollars? We need a certain ink. Eh? A certain whatever. To wash off. There would be marks on. We need to wash off what? This, whatever. Now, when we wash it off, they are real dollars. Then he pulls out dollars from the bundle, which he knew are actually real dollars. Then he applies that ink. Then tells you go and change. So you go to the Forex Bureau and they actually give you what? Shillings. So he says, hey, so they are real dollars. So he says, now the problem is, you see, this is $500,000. Now we need ink of 150 million. Then we'll have $500,000. So, I was attending a church where everybody went down. The whole church went down with dollars. And the dollars were fake. The man would come with the ones which are real, and he knows where to pull them. Then he does, and she said, go and exchange and see. Then, they hammered people in this town. There are people who might know whom they hammered, top guys. And there's a man whom was a mayor of some place. You know. They hammered him $500,000, which of course he had also stolen. So now they told me they came to, the man was, the person who was telling me the story was dramatic. He says, Bamusanga Motel Ngariat. Then they said, Mayor, to get to Bawabi to police. Because you know, if you go to police, they're also going to ask you where you get the money from. You also stole it. So the guys would hammer them, buy powerful cars, and come and park them in front of you. And there's nothing you can do. Now, that some church I used to go to, they mess. Then one lady even went and said that come later, we are not going to tell him. We shall just bring for him a seed of 100 million. She ended up in prison. I wouldn't mind the seed, but okay. But they didn't. If they had told me, I would have told the new people. That doesn't sound very right. But they said, come later, that's when you don't tell him. You know, when people see that you might spoil their what? Their thing. Eh? Because people want hope. But also me, I've also been in what? In those fake things. Not of whatever. There was a time when some pastor put me on many gold what? But being desperate is bad, man. On that day, when we were supposed to go and divide the money, guess what happened? I overslept. But God has saved me from this. That day, sleep just hammered me. We were supposed to be at Sheraton where we were going to divide the money about what, at 9. Eh? I woke up at around 11:30. I said that what? Man, this is sad. So I woke up, I called the guy who was supposed, telling him where is my money. I was supposed to get $10,000. I called the guy to ask him where my money is. His phone was off. Kumbe, the guy was in prison. The next day, they were paraded. Eh? Bafiri. I was also going to be one of them. But, and I'd done nothing. Eh? But you see, God, now imagine I come here, eh? And say I'm studying for president and there's a picture of me in the pew. I wouldn't have. They'll say, "You have Mufere, you shut up." But you see, the God who knows your future, eh? Saves you from so many things because he says, "Now look at this guy, you're being fake." But that all comes because you're not filled with the knowledge of his ways. And you are not sure about what your path is. Now, after some time, when I settled down and started pursuing the path of God, you can't bring some gold deal to me and what else? Man, my path does not involve any minerals. Praise the Lord. I know what it involves. So if it comes and it's out of my path, I will look at you and say, "Okay, I wish you luck, go ahead, but that's not my path." Glory to God. Now, can you do that or you're still there in that place where you're looking for deal? There's this deal and what? And man, those things, they put visions of money in your head. I'd already planned how I was going to use my $10,000 properly. I was going to end up in prison. God just hammered me with sleep. Bah! The guys gathered there at 9. What? The next thing, police came. And it was all a fake thing. Just your adore of them took them to what? One of so many instances where God has saved me from my stupidity. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be filled with what? Knowledge of his will. And you are going to actually ask him that, what is my path? Okay? What exactly is my path? And when you find it, don't deviate from it, because that is where the traps come. When you are in your path, even when you make mistakes, they are covered as long as you are in your path. Amen? Now, when you get out is where you run into all sorts of problems. Go to Proverbs 4:25. It says that, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids." Okay, start, go to verse 18, Proverbs 4:18. It says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." Now, the path, nobody starts knowing for sure what their path is. But it starts like the sun in the morning. Comes, you see a bit of it, until the brightest day, the midday sun, where it is very bright. Now, that's what he compares. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter. It does not start in the morning, it starts slow, you start seeing then until the perfect day, until that shines ever brighter, until when you perfectly know and see the sun is now clear, this is my path. That's how the path of the just is. Praise the Lord. Now go to verse 25. Then it says that, "Let your eyes look straight ahead." When you know what you're supposed to do, distractions are one of the biggest weapons of the devil. Money can distract. Then this one, then the other one, then this up, somebody up. Then a good idea comes up, then another one comes up. Man. And you spend all your time. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Go ahead, verse 26. "Ponder the path of your feet." Think about it. Somebody comes to you with a good idea. Ponder it. Think about it. Now, like those people who say black dollars, you just have to think a bit. But you see, when you're thinking with your emotions, you're seeing money. And that calculator, we're not going to tell him, we'll just give him a seed of what? 100 million. And then you end up in prison. Praise the Lord. And I miss out on my 100 million because you are in prison. He says, "Ponder the path of your feet." Amen. Like, just take time and say, "Now, this has come. Is this in my path? If it is, think it over. Think through it." Ponder means take time to think about it. Okay? Before you take the step. So you're not just running. You're not just putting your foot anywhere. You first ponder the path and let all your ways be established. So that when you've thought it through and you put your foot there, you established, it's something, it's not something that you did out of excitement. You prayed about it, you did it before you put your foot. So you're established in your ways. And you've taken, and it says, and let your all your ways be established. Go ahead, verse 27. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. Now the evil he's talking about is, now in this time, the things that distract you are evil. Because they will take away from who you are. They will take away from your time. At the very least, they will take your time. But they can actually completely kill your destiny because you've not pondered. Praise the Lord. You've not thought something through. Amen? Is that the end of it? Okay? No. Go back to it. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Now imagine somebody who walks like that. And he says, this is my path. Show me the path of life. This is my path. And I can see where I'm going. There. And then, every step of the way I am pondering. Should I take this step now? Maybe I'm supposed to take it tomorrow. Then I take a step. And I'm not looking here or here. Now, there will be distractions on either side. Come and do this. And all the distractions promise one thing, quick reward. Because the actual path, actually, getting there is, might take time. But when you get there, it will be the best thing. So all the distractions promise quick returns, quick reward. You're going to, you know, there's this gold deal, you're going to get money here. There's this, and all those things, you know. And I know, Haman, praise the Lord. But if you discern that I know my path, somebody is not going to come and distract me. And I've taken time, I've pondered it. Then the lines will fall on you in what? Pleasant places. Go back there. Where was that? That was Psalms 16, verse 6. It says, the lines will fall on you in pleasant places. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. So now when the lines are demarcated, and you know there's going to be a time of demarcation of lines, and you should not be caught offside. And the time actually is now. Where, are you supposed to be here? You're not. Then it falls on you when you're not in pleasant places. Now, then somebody, the lines fall on them in pleasant places, and they find them where exactly they are supposed to be. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Okay? Go ahead. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Now, let me tell you, there is one thing which lacks in the church today, and that is counsel. Counsel. Amen? People will come to you, and they are asking you something, and they don't want counsel. And you see, there is what is called the word of knowledge. You know that? You know the word of knowledge. There is what is called the word of wisdom. And there are people who have wisdom, which is supernatural. To know that this is not right. This is like yours truly. Like I can just look and say that's a mistake. You're going to make a big mistake. And I'm not, it's not prophetic. It is just wisdom. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is picking things which cannot be seen. Word of wisdom is somebody who tells you something, which is wise counsel. And the scripture says, in the multitude of counselors you shall wage war. It says that. So now you start something, and without asking anybody. Now all those people who were fed with those black dollars, it's just counsel they needed. They didn't even need any prophetic. They just needed counsel. Ask people before you go and get excited about something. Just go and ask people for counsel. And you see now, I don't know if we have counselors. I'm not talking about these marriage counselors or what. I'm talking about people who have wise counsel. Who can tell you? They're like the people who used to be with before kings. You know, all the kings had people seated before them who were wise people. And the king, when an idea is brought to him, he would first, these people would say, yeah, that's the right idea. You remember Joseph appearing before Pharaoh? Okay? Joseph appears before Pharaoh and tells him the interpretation of the dream and says, therefore let Pharaoh appoint somebody who is wise and what? Then it says the advice was good for Pharaoh and all his servants, like and all his counselors. So they listen and tell Pharaoh, yeah, that is it. So now he's not going to make a decision anyhow. Because they have to first debate it. Not democracy, he's the king, he'll decide, but you'll first ask, Robert, what do you think? I think this. Thomas, what do you think? I think you go to, what do you think? What do you think? Then all the counselors, then they make, should we go to war? Should we do that? Now we do not have here, and yet the scripture says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay? It says that in Proverbs. Now here, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, of course, sometimes you need more than one counselor. Because somebody might counsel you based on their, you know. So you ask somebody, I'm planning to go and stand for MP. What do you think? You don't ask weird people who are doing nothing, who wake up in the morning to eat and do nothing. You ask people who are, you know, who have the ability to have proper counsel. And says, you know what, I don't think so. Say, okay, why don't you think so? Blah, 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 blah. He's not giving you a prophetic word. He's just giving you counsel. And that's very scriptural. Very, very scriptural. It says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, if those people had gone there and even in your path, you say, I feel the Lord is leading me here and this is what I'm supposed to do. Greg, what do you think? Hugo says, if you think, you know, I think that, you know, there are things which people will tell you straight on that that is wrong. That is not God. People have come and told me things which the Lord told me this, and I'm looking at them saying that is not God. Pure and simple, I know that is not what? God. And now, they don't want to believe. But if they went to a second person, and that's not even prophetic, it is just, and then go back to the other, whatever, where we are. And we have to finish shortly. Yes. Okay. Who has given me counsel? My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Now all this is the path of life. My heart instructs me in night seasons. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what that means, and it's very powerful. Go ahead. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. The decision to do the will of God is yours, and to put yours aside. It's actually your decision. But when you do, you realize that you took so long to do it. So you say, I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Go ahead. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Verse 10. For you will not leave me, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Nor would you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now this is a Messiah prophecy. But see, that's how prophecies come in the Psalms. They just show up in the middle of something. Verse 11 is the one we read. You will show me the path of life. Praise the Lord. You will show me the path of life. The path of life, not a path of life. There is one for you. There are not many. There is one path for you. And you can fight out. And that will determine so many things. And to, like, and you, it will save you from, okay, the things I've seen there. You know, there are some people I want to give examples of, but they usually listen to my messages. And they will know that what? I was scaring them. But there's some guy who is very, very good at so many things. But if he only knew the simple thing of be filled with the knowledge of his will, you can be the most talented person, but until you understand that, be filled with the knowledge of his will. The guy, we were talking with him the other day, and I told him, if you actually want to fulfill your potential, then he became very, very defensive. What do you mean fulfill my potential? I've fulfilled my, do you know the things I've done? I said, hey, calm down. I know you've done so many things at once. But you see, you know, there is a witness in you that you've not, you always have a witness that you've not fulfilled, if you haven't, that I'm yet to fulfill my potential. I'm supposed to be bigger than, and the witness is inside you, and you can deny it or you can accept it. And then if you accept it, you say, then what have I got to do to actually get to the fullness of my potential? Now then, they say, okay, calm down. But see, you have to do this, you have to learn this. No, what are you saying? Then I realized we are going to get into arguments, so I just went into Kabozi. Then we jazzed. And he came to me to have an interpretation of a dream. And eventually, he interpreted the dream for himself in a wrong way. And I could have told him what the dream means. but he would have fought me. So I just asked for coffee, and we had coffee, and, you know, and it was sad, because I, like, it is sad, then eventually ends up like, by the way, you learn how to be instructed. Like, don't be somebody who doesn't want to be instructed. And that is a weakness of preachers. Because there's nothing you're going to tell them that they don't know, but they don't know it. Amen? Because knowledge is experiential. You're going to tell somebody, by his stripes you are healed, and he's sick. But he knows the scripture, but he doesn't know it. You understand? The knowledge is in the experience. Now, the thing is, you start arguing on knowledge, and then you've lost each other completely. Then who knows more? You know, you see, but she also says here, and I love those arguments, because I've always been an argumentative person, but I've switched off the spirituality. So now I say katubisanye, like the totally switched off, because I know now nothing is going to be received. So now, and yet actually I could give wise counsel and say, you know what, you can do this and this and this based on what I've experienced. But you realize somebody is in the arguing mood, so you say, okay, I switch on the arguing mood. Then we start arguing, then the coffee comes. I used to do that especially in football. There's a friend of mine who, when we argue about football, it's as if he's going to punch me. And then I was with some other guy, and the guy said, me, I thought you were going to fight. But we're actually having fun. The guy says, Toy, where did we start shouting at each other? Then I told him, man, I have to go. He says, don't go, stay here, and they give you another. And like, we, just mental gymnastics. And that's also good. Praise the Lord. But now, this man came for counsel, and he cannot get counsel. He will not receive counsel, so I just switch on mental gymnastics, and we have a nice time. Praise the Lord. And the coffee is good. Glory to God. We're actually here in office. So they brought for me some cinnamon tea and cashew nuts, and we argued up to like late in the night. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in the mouth, counsel, you like, don't come up with an idea, and don't seek for counsel among your brethren. Amen? That is a very, very powerful thing. Okay, go back to the path of life. We are ending. The path of life. I want you to go and each one determine what your path is. And can you be sure about it? Like, sure, this is my path. Don't bring for me. And there are people whom I know who are sure, absolutely definite about what their path is. People who are here. And I know they are definite about it. Then there are those whom I know are still can be swung left, right, center. They are, I also know them. Amen? Yeah. So somebody comes and says, there is this piece of land. The owner wants 100 million, but you can sell it at 250 million. Then, that is 3 or 4 months of your life gone. And you will not even sell it. Then you come and start praying to, of course there are people who have a path in that line, which is okay. Then you become a broker today of houses. Then the next day you become, you know, a kayungirizi of something. And you could actually save a lot of time and energy by just asking God, what's my path? And that would get you in a certain place. Every idea that somebody on their path looks attractive. If you see a business person doing business, their thing looks attractive. So you want to be there, and you think you'll also look good. But he's looking good because he's on his path. Now, if you do not know yours, and you jump on that, business seems to be the thing. Now, politics. Now, you jump on politics. Now, yeah, travel. You know those things of network marketing. Man, I know pastors who just those forever living, what? Then the pastor is on the pulpit preaching forever, what? Living. You remember? They have promised him you're going to get money and what? Me, those things, even when I didn't know the path, I said, because you lose all your friends. Somebody is told you want to sell to them something. So you have no friends. You understand? Eh? Then they came another one, man. Okay, people have suffered in this world, man. People have suffered. And all because they don't want to get the will of God. Then I remember some guy came to Spanji, what saying? There was this World Ventures. Remember World Ventures? Eh. You also did it. You survived. Eh? But also you've also, what? You've been around. Eh? Eh? Like me. Eh? So what? So somebody comes and says to you about what? Then you're going to travel here. Then what? And I saw people going down in those things. I said, man, let me believe God. I will travel. Eh? With, in different, because you're looking for cheap things. Anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now these things are, you know them, you're doing them. Then, okay, now me, I'm saying things perhaps which were long ago, because I've spent some years knowing what I'm supposed to do. But things came, somebody comes and sells you. I remember some guy, powerful evangelist. By the way, now that was sad. A powerful evangelist, very powerful evangelist. But so we did not know how to be in ministry and get money from ministry. We didn't know. Okay? So the idea is that when you're in ministry, you have to be working somewhere to fund the ministry. As if you're richer than God. Amen? God called you to ministry, but Vambi, he doesn't have money. So you have to go and do what? And work hard to fund the ministry. And we're all in that deception. Okay? Now this gentleman, I knew him very well. And he came one day and was telling me there was over some TEDx thing. TEDx free. Then the guy pulled out some and started showing me what he was looking at the guy. And you know, if you do this and you do this, do this. And I was imagining the guy, a powerful evangelist. He stayed in TEDx free until unfortunately he passed on. And I'm talking about people who like cut off at the peak of when they were supposed to be effective. Because he also got into that thing of black dollars. Then I think took debts and then ran out. Okay, man, a lot of things. Eh? Like, people, there's another guy who was such a good evangelist that I would even organize a meeting and call him to preach on a crusade. Because I'm not an evangelist. So you'd come and preach and there would be people getting healed and so on. But black dollars hammered him. Next thing I knew, he was in Asia somewhere. Then the next thing is in Dubai. Now he's a pastor and a preacher. He's on something else. Totally different. And like life just goes like that. And somebody's potential all goes. Bah. And now, by the way, you can very easily die when you're not on your path. When you're on your path, you can't die. You cannot die when you're on your path. Even if you're evil, even those people who are evil, you see, eh? You think they will die? No, as long as they are doing they will not die. You think so? Why do you think people like George Soros, the man is like 100, but he's there, causing confusion. Bill Gates is going to be there because he's doing something of a spiritual substance in the wicked world, but of spiritual substance. Amen? The people who die are those ones who say, man, now let me just sit down and eat and get fat. Like that man in the Bible. Then the scripture says, the Lord said, I require. But when somebody is doing something, even if it is evil, they don't die. Sometimes you just say, but this Bill Gates, why doesn't he just say, he's not going to. We have to hammer him. When we have hammered him, then he will die. Amen? That's just the word, man. Now, when you get your path, you are invincible. You can't die. You can't do what. So, can come out. You know, like that's your real area. Like real area where you're supposed to excel.
I have an idea. Not very sure, but
yeah, now that is it. And now I'm going to release something a bank, okay, that will come and be your client. And and that will be the beginning of it. Do you have any banking that you that is your plan?
No, none depositing institutions, no banks.
Now a bank, and you'll be like the main guy. Okay. And I'm not talking about very far away from now. I'm talking about in a period so short as that by the turn of this year, you'll have finalized all the documentation. Now then you'll know that that is your path. It's like that will be the beginning of others. Now that is going to sort so many things for you financially. In the back, but I don't want to say it here. At some stage, you had actually wanted to apply to for that sort of thing, and now I know I have seen the back, but I will tell you. Now set your foot there. That's where things are going to be. That's where things are going to put your foot there. That doesn't mean you leave all the other things you're doing, but set your foot there and elevate yourself to that status. Because you were beginning to see yourself as not all that. Now I want you to lift, elevate yourself in your mind that I'm at this level, and then you fit in that level, and then you get that thing. I'll tell you which one exactly. But you'll, an opportunity will just show up there like that. And then it will be, you know. Okay, that's enough. But you know now that's your path. That's where you're going to get real, you know, solid, solid things. But at the beginning of, you want to say something? At the beginning of that corporate thing, of your anyway. Don't forget who you are. Amen. You have something powerful. Like you know it. But you know maybe a few things here and there might confuse you and you think a bit smaller. But hold on to that thing which you know about yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Don't let this temporary phase mess up your, you know.
Yes.
Your big thing.
Yes.
I'm giving you time to just what? Ponder your past. Gentlemen, do you know your path? Yeah? You don't know your path?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I do security.
Yeah?
Security.
But you know that's not your where, like your head, the end. I said leadership. But you're scared. You're married. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you pondered your path? Have you? Have you pondered your path? Have you pondered your path? You don't seem like you have. Anyway, God bless you.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at The Watchman Grounds, opposite Mukwaya Hospital, near the American Embassy, along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.